Welcome today to the August 8th edition of the Security Week in Review, brought to you by The Hack Report and Storefront Backtalk. I'm Evan Schumann, editor of StorefrontBackTalk.com, and we have a notoriously prestigious panel with us today to jump into some of the security items from this week. Courtesy of the law, the legal profession lends us today Mr. Mark Rasch, currently with FTI Consulting, but Mark is an attorney who is focused on technology for years and used to head up the Justice Department's high-tech crimes unit. We also have with us Dave Taylor. Dave is president of the PCI Security Vendor Alliance and by day toils for Protegrity. We also have with us Chris Hines, the newest member of the PCI Security Standards Council. Chris hails from the halls of Motorola. Gentlemen, thank you. At the recent Black Hat Security Conference, there was a wonderfully intriguing presentation by the CEO of Arata Security, Robert Graham. And he was trying to make the point how pervasive cookies can be. And when you couple cookies with wireless, you can get a very, very distasteful combo. Well, I guess distasteful depending on whether you're looking to break in or not. Mark, can you give us a quick summary of what he laid out and what you see as some of the issues surrounding it?
Well, essentially what happens is when you go on somebody else's wireless network, your traffic, packets that make up your traffic, are traveling through their network. And if you go on somebody else's unsecured wireless network, other people can capture the packets that you're sending, unless you've done something to protect it, like a VPN or some kind of encryption. And what they demonstrated at the Black Hat Conference is that when you log into a web-based email, Gmail is the one that they use, but it'll work with any web-based email that uses cookies as an authenticator. There are tools that a bad guy can use if they're in close proximity to you to capture your traffic, go back and capture the cookies, clone the cookies, put a cloned copy of the cookies on their own machine, and then effectively log in and not only read your email, but send email as you. The other thing they're able to do is these cookies are persistent, so they don't just capture that one session. They can log back in later and send and receive email as you. It's not dire. It's a threat. It's a vulnerability. People have to understand that traffic going through wireless networks is not secure unless secured. But what it also demonstrates is that things that we do for convenience, like using cookies so we don't have to type in a user ID and password every single time or use a biometric, has security implications. And the other thing is that, you know, people are very promiscuous about using other people's Wi-Fi. They'll open a laptop or, you know, my new iPhone. Whenever I turn on my iPhone, the first thing I'm looking for is a Wi-Fi connection so I can get a high bandwidth connection. When you turn this on and see a free Wi-Fi, that may not always be a good thing.
You were mentioning earlier, Mark, that the best way to make a security hole is to give someone a wireless connection.
That's right. People, when they do an audit or an assessment, especially in the PCI environment, and they're doing an audit or assessment of security, one of the things they look for is Wi-Fi security. And what they're looking for is my network broadcasting information to other people? But what they have to worry about is users of your network receiving a broadcast from somebody else and logging into somebody else's network and letting your network traffic and information travel over somebody else's unsecured network.
Chris, what is your take on all this?
I think there are a couple of different aspects to this that are interesting. One is, I think it wraps around nicely to our first topic, in that, you know, people need to understand security in general and watch out for things that are not legitimate. You know, here they just show that the cookie can be used and you can be innocently on someone's hotspot. But, you know, if you look at the sort of phishing attacks we were talking about, you can have a whole classification building off the last comment here, where your supposed hotspot is actually a phisher. And how do you spot that? And how do you combat that? But a lot of people really just need to understand really what wireless is. I think there still is a lot of confusion out there. It's just kind of black magic that happens in my laptop. I wander around and then my laptop tells me there's a connection and I send data. A lot of people, I don't believe, think about it as being any different than when they use their computer that's plugged into DSL at home in terms of security. And this is a great example of how really realizing that you need to use some form of security, try and use, I believe the story even quoted that, you know, if you want to be a little bit more protected, use the secure logins that most of the online webmail services offer. They offer a secure login if you want it, but most people just don't bother to click on that link. And the story made the point that, you know, at the very least, use that, because then at least you've got some security going on. People can't just watch everything flying around. It's important that people realize that, you know, when you stop at that Starbucks hotspot and it's wide open, everything you do is wide open to somebody who wants to sit down and sniff your traffic.
Well, you know, what's interesting also, the article pointed out that one of the Black Hat hackers said, you're a fool, you're an idiot if you use a T-Mobile hotspot. And that's not true. I mean, people, there are users who have to use these networks, and there's nothing wrong with free public Wi-Fi. There's nothing wrong with T-Mobile and using these sites. Just use a little bit of common sense. The problem is most people are just more interested in just getting online than they are in getting online securely.
I agree. I think any comment that says that you shouldn't ever use a hotspot or using a T-Mobile one is a horrible idea is not a valid statement.
I think it's also not realistic. I mean, again, they're not noted for being realistic when they make these kinds of statements, but I think it does also, it's attendant upon us in the technology business to ensure that when people do things, that they have a secure option, and that secure option is presented to them, whether it means encrypting traffic, or whether it means restricting access to certain people and not other people, or whether that means that more information needs to be provided by an individual in a session than maybe they might necessarily like to provide. I think it is up to the technologist, whether they're network people or whether they're data security people or whatever they are, to provide a secure alternative. And that is not always the case. You know, there may be a warning out there, but if we have to do business, as the point was already made, if we have to do business, or for God's sake, we have to communicate with our buddies, whatever it is, we're going to do that. Give me a secure option, and if it costs a little bit more or if it requires a little bit more effort, if I'm smart, then I'll take advantage of it. And if I'm willing to take the risk, then I won't. But at least I had the decision. And the technologists need to make sure that people have that decision to make.
And it looks like if you go to gmail.google.com now, they automatically roll you to HTTPS, a secure HTTP connection for your login now. So they've obviously taken that to heart, offering that secure solution. They're making sure it's a secure solution now.
Dave, let me throw you one other part of this, because a lot of the discussion we've had for the last few minutes has been focused on the wireless elements of the whole cookie problem. Let's talk for a second about the cookie element of the cookie problem. Cookies have been historically seen as a convenience, a shortcut. And certainly they have the CRM, the consumer identifying potential. Do you think that this particular demo, to the extent it's getting publicized out there, is going to change the way cookies are perceived? In other words, do you think that the concern that some people have had about cookies is legitimate? Do you think it's going to get worse, better?
A lot of it depends. This is Mark. A lot of it depends on what we ask cookies to do. And over a period of time, we've actually made the cookies a little bit dumber than they were to begin with. And we've given users some control over what cookies they accept and what they accept them for. On the other hand, most users don't know how to set their cookie preferences and don't care to. And so cookies are just one of, you know, 10,000 different vulnerabilities, which there's a balance and a trade-off.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. I'm one of those people that when I download my Firefox and I get it set up, cookies and the cookie settings are one of the first places I go. But that's because I'm aware of these issues. You talk to most people about cookies on their internet and their web browsing, and they probably wouldn't even recognize what that is. If you tell them, oh, it's the site's putting information on your computer, they're going to look questioningly and say it helps you, and then they're going to be happy again, and they're not going to twiddle with those settings.
And I think when this does, you know, reach the public consciousness, and maybe legislators start to get involved, God forbid, then what you'll see is, you know, cookie standards and laws relating to cookies and that sort of thing. And when enough really bad things happen or have happened, then that's the sort of thing you'll see. And the question is, you know, does the industry want to react prior to that? You know, do we want to wait until some relatively bad thing or catastrophic event results from, you know, the failure to protect this information, or, you know, kind of assuaging, you know, to people's desire for things to be done easily? You know, you either react before it happens or you react after it happens. And historically, we wait until after the bus has tragically killed a group of kids before we start putting stoplights into place. So there you go.
So all we need really is for technology, technologists to fail and lawyers to step in. That will be the success, right?
Oh, there you go.
Sure, the House of Representatives is exactly the ones who I want setting cookie policy.
Oh, there's no question. You can't get a group of more technologically sophisticated people apart
because the cookies fly through the tubes that make up the internet.
Yeah, and
internets.
The internets and the vacuum tubes where we put the things in there. Absolutely. That's the right image to produce here.